Tractate of Eliezer, Perek Chaf. Until now, we've been speaking about the story of Brias HaOlam, creating the world, and the stories of Adam Rishon and different things that were related to that. Now we sort of finished the topic of Adam Rishon. We're moving on to the next story, the next topic of Cain and Hevel. So we're all familiar with the basic story of Cain and Hevel, that they brought Karbanos, and Cain's Karban wasn't accepted, and Hevel's Karban was accepted, and Cain got jealous, and he killed Hevel. And Stam, when I was a little kid, so I used to get confused between Cain and Hevel. Which is the one that killed, and which was the one that got killed? So I have a trick to remember. Cain wasn't so kind when he killed Hevel. That's how I remember. That's when I was a... Okay. So the Medrash gives a very interesting introduction to the whole topic of Cain and Hevel. It says like this. Ksiv, it says in the Pasuk, and the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, you're not supposed to eat from it. That's what it says in the Pasuk. The Pasha Pshan, the Pasuk, is that that's the tzivui that when Hashem said to Adam Rishon, He said, you can eat from all the tree, from the fruits of all the trees in the garden, but the tree that's in the middle of the garden, the Beseich HaGan, you're not allowed to eat from that. That's the Eitz Hadas, you're not allowed to eat from it. That's Pasha Pshan, the Pasuk. Tana Rabbi Zeira Omer. Tana, we learned Rabbi Zeira says like this: Mipri ha'etz, from the fruit of the tree, ein ha'etz hazeb ela adam shenim shel ke'etz. It doesn't literally mean a tree; rather, the tree in this situation is referring to a person who's comparable to a tree. Shemar, it says in the pasuk, ki ha'adam etz hasadeh, that a man is like a tree of the field. So you see, a person is like a tree. So what's talking about, you're not allowed to eat a person, so to speak, inside the Asher B'Seich HaGan, that's inside the garden. What does that mean, inside the garden? Ein B'Seich HaGan Elo Lashon Nekiyah. The expression B'Seich HaGan, inside the garden, is supposed to be a Lashon Nekiyah, a clean expression to refer to something else that we didn't want to say out specifically. Masha B'Seich HaGuf, it means what's inside the body. Asher b'seich hagan, inside the garden. Asher b'seich ha'isha, which is inside the woman. Ve'en hagan ela ha'isha shenim shel hagan. The expression garden refers to a woman who's comparable to a garden. Shenema, as it says in the pasuk in Shir Shirim, gan na'ul achis echala. Chazal tells us that pasuk is talking about the Jewish women in Mitzrayim, so they closed themselves up, so that the Mitzrayim won't have any relations with them. So they're called a Gan Na'ul, a closed up garden. Just like this garden, anything that you plant in it, that's what's going to grow and that's what's going to come out from it, that's what's going to produce. So to a woman, whatever you plant in her, she's going to become pregnant with, and that's what she's going to give birth from. Meaning whoever the father is, that's what the kid is going to be. That's basically the point over here.
I just thought this is probably the shot why Rav Boldy says that chinuch starts 9 months after the child comes out.
Right?
Because you're sowing the seed, then all kind of seed you're sowing at that point.
Right. So it's sort of the basic idea over here is sort of we sort of understand the thing, but like the exact way that what it's talking about is sort of enigmatic. The Marzu explains that we're talking about the Isser of Arayus. That even though the Pasuk is saying Mipriyetz Asher B'Seich HaGan, you're not allowed to eat from it, it's talking about it's referring to the idea of Arayus. That you're not allowed to get hana from the fruit of the garden that's usher to you or that's not yours or whatever. That's how he understands it, and he says that. Okay, and we'll see pretty quickly how this is an introduction to the story of Cain and Hevel. But it's interesting that the Marzu says that because the Maisa, like let's say in the Gemara in Sanhedrin on Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, so. It, over there, the Gemara brings a different pasuk to tell you that Adam Rishon was commanded in the Isurim of Arayus. Or there's another of Lamar over there, the Gemara says, and another pasuk the Gemara in Sanhedrin and the Medrash Rabbah in Bereishis also says a pasuk of Al Ken Yazav Ishis Avivis Imay V'Davak Be'Ishtay, that that's the source of Arias. So I'm not sure exactly.
But I don't get it. Arias is Ishis. He is somebody else.
Yeah.
There's nobody else.
So we're gonna see what I'm talking about. Basically, we're gonna say that the Nachash had relations with Chava, and from that Cain was born. So this
everybody wanted to. Where he actually did. That was Nachash wanted Chava, and he tricked.
So that's what Rashi says in Chumash.
Okay.
But in Pirkei Avos it says more than that. And we're gonna have to try to figure out exactly what it means. But
I said
in the beginning that when I was a little kid, I used to forget which one killed which, Cain and Hevel. So I came up with a trick to remember. Or maybe someone told me, I don't remember. Cain wasn't so kind when he killed Hevel.
Oh.
That's how you remember it.
Yeah, they have a Portuguese one.
Yeah, what do they say in Portuguese?
I don't know. Actually, they have a joke, whatever.
It's not funny.
It's not funny.
So who came from the relationship between
Cain? We're gonna see in the moment.
Yeah.
The other nukud, just the point that the manager is saying over here is that whatever you, that a woman is like a garden, that whatever you plant in the garden, that's what's gonna produce. So to a woman, like whoever is gonna plant in her, whoever is gonna be the father, so the kid is gonna be like the father, or is gonna be similar to the father in some ways. Rabbi Liomi Izmir over here has like a whole like very weird, bizarre explanation. I don't know, Chas v'Shalom, to say something about what we're talking about. What does it mean? Because we said that Pashup Shah, this pasuk of not eating from the Eitz Pesach Hagan, is that it's really talking about the Itzer of the Eitz Hadas. So what does that have to do with Arias of Pesach Hagan? We said that the Gan is the Isha.
Das is Arias.
Okay, you could say it like that. See, he says like a whole funny part based on the Zayar in Parshas Noach.
Was that
the Rabbi Liomi Izmir, you have it over here. And V'loy Aydela. Basically, the Zohar says that if it wasn't for the fact that Adam Rishon ate from the Eitz Hadas, they said that the mechanism for reproduction would have been different. So that it wouldn't have been, the way it would have been, would be like you look at your spouse or you hug or you kiss like from the outside. But now that they ate from the Eitz Hadas, so it had to be that you had to go into the inside. So when Hashem said, don't eat from the Eitz Asher B'Seich Hagan, he's saying don't bring yourself to a situation where you have to go B'Seich Hagan. Rather, don't eat from the Eitz Hadas and leave it that you would be able to reproduce without going inside. You would do it from like the outside somehow. So he says like that's what the Medrash over here is talking about.
Interesting, like the plants reproduce, there is an inside and outside, but it's not so much. So
right.
Maybe that's the illusion there.
Okay.
It's interesting, if you go inside, it creates a tumor. A tumor carrying, tumor from a woman.
Right.
Could be from the outside, it wouldn't have been a tumor.
I think it's a famous word from Rav Hirsch, what the whole Indian of tumor is, that tumor is the lack of life.
Right.
So like, when you're creating life, you're also losing the potential to create life. Like, you're using it up.
So when you create tumor, it's like when you create life.
Yeah. What?
When you create tumor.
No, when you create life, you're also creating tumor because if I use this to create life. So when I use this, now I don't have it anymore.
Like
so I lost a sort of potential to create life again.
Like light and darkness.
Yeah, and that's what basically everything that has to do with tumah has to do with life and death. Like Keri and then Nida and Sheretz is a dead Sheretz, and Tumas Meis is Tumas Meis. It's like all the things have to do with either creating life or taking away life. Okay, whatever. So now this is the main part that the Medrash is trying to bring up. Bo Eleha Rechev Nachash, the one who is riding on the snake, on the Nachash, had relations with Chava. And we spoke about that the Malach Sami was, we saw in Perek Yud Gimel, Samal, the Malach Sami, we called him in Perek Yud Gimel, he said that he was the one that was riding on the Nachash that he went to try to convince Chava to eat from the Eitz Hadas. So we're talking about that, that Malach that came onto Chava.
I don't have the Girsa, the snake.
What do you have the Girsa?
I just have
Bo'eleha.
Hush.
Okay. So by us it says Ba'ilaha Rechev Nachash, and then like the word Rechev is sort of like in parentheses. So either it says Nachash or Rechev Nachash. And that's also the Gersa in the Yalkut Shemayni, basically Rechev Nachash. The Ibra is Kayin, and she became pregnant from Kayin. The Achakach Ibra is Hevel. And then afterwards she became pregnant with Hevel. Shemar v'ha'odom yadas Chava Ishtai. It says that man knew Chava, his wife.
So Gersa without the Nachash makes more sense. Shemar, Adam yadas Chava.
No, because look at the next slide. Ma yada, what does it mean that he knew her? So we understand in general that there's a term, you know, biblical knowing, which is a euphemism for something else. But here the Midrash is saying it means that he knew something. He actually knew something. What did he know? He knew shahaisumu beres, that she was pregnant. And she saw that the form of whatever she was pregnant with wasn't from the tachtonim, from the lower worlds, but was rather something from the upper worlds, meaning that the father was not, let's say, of the lower worlds, but it was from the upper worlds, meaning it was a malach. The malach samach mem. V'hibit of Amran, she saw and she said, Konisi isha sashem, I acquired a man, es Hashem. The Radal says it means like with Hashem. Like a man that's with Hashem is referring to a malach. A malach is called the ishim. So a malach, kenisi isha Hashem means like that she became pregnant from a malach. This malach of the samach mem. And then after, so she first became pregnant with Kayin, and then after she became pregnant with Hevel. So I wanted to say that what you have to say is that she gave birth in between, because the Gemara, Tesis and Yevamos and Dafid Bez and Mebez talks about this. We say that Ein Isha Misaberes Suchezer Misaberes. You can't become pregnant and then become pregnant again without giving birth in between, right? So the Pashto says that she became pregnant with Kayin, gave birth to Kayin, and then afterwards she became pregnant with Hevel and gave birth to Hevel. That's the Pashto Pshat. And then I found that the Targum Yonasan in Bereishis Dalet Perek Dalet Pasuk Aleph also says this, that she gave birth to Kayin and then became pregnant with Hevel and gave birth to Hevel. The Radal over here seems to be saying at least that the Medrash is sort of criticizing Adam Rishon, that Adam Rishon saw that Chava became pregnant from something from some sort of malach or whatever, and still he lived with Chava and then she became pregnant with Hevel. Really, Adam Rishon shouldn't have done that. He should have waited until whatever zuama, whatever the Gemara uses the expression zuama, the dirtiness or some sort of impurity that the Nachash put into Chava, he should have waited for that to like dissipate and then go back to Chava. But instead, he didn't wait, and then he went and Hevel was born from that. And the Radal says also that. See, this is the sort of the hard to understand part, because the Pashup Shan, what the Medrash is saying, is that when we're talking about Kayin, so by Kayin, so the father was this Malach and the mother was Chava, and then we're talking about Hevel, so Adam was the father and Chava was the mother. But the Radal says that even Kayin also had to do with the Bia of Adam. It was like sort of like, I guess, some sort of like mixture of like Adam and this Malach were like sort of contributed to the creation of Kayin. Nobody said, I found that the Rikanti also, I just saw this on Rosh Hashanah, that the Rikanti in Parshas Bereishis also says the same thing, that Kayin was formed from Adam and the Samal, not just the Samal, because.
Hevel
was formed, I guess, just from Adam and Chava, without the Samal, or minimally from the Satan, because of the Zuma that was still there, but not actually the Satan. I don't know exactly how all these things work together.
So what was it? Was it the Malach or the Nachash?
Was what?
Was it the Malach or was it the Nachash? Which one was it?
The Malach or the Nachash?
I don't know. It sounds like there was. The Malach and the Nachash, the Samal and the Nachash go together. We said before that the Samal was riding on the Nachash, meaning it sort of like possessed the Nachash, and it was like the Nachash was doing the bidding of the Samal, or something like that, exactly.
According to referring to Rav Zeira for, he's saying different things about the Adam is the eight, the Isha is the Dan.
Yeah.
To be the Nafas is also like a something else. Like just also like a sort of what's it called? Allusion to something else. The Malach itself. Like the bad inside of the Malach, the God inside of Hava, whatever.
You're saying I'm not sure exactly what you're saying.
What I'm saying, yeah.
What I understood of Zira is talking about what went into Chava. You want to say that the same thing that like when we're talking about going into Chava, so we're talking about also like that the Samol went into the Nachash. That's what you want to say.
No.
What are you trying to say?
The Nachash is Samol himself.
Right.
It's just like a part of it, like the bad thing. It was. Or I don't know, like the bad influence of the Samael got into inside Hava, and that's called a Nachash.
It could be. I don't know. The truth is, I'm not an expert in these things. Are like real. This is like Kabbalah. So I'm like I don't really know Kabbalah. But just tell you what it says, and we'll try to figure it out.
Just a simple math. Like if we're here, Eitz is Adam.
Right.
And the gun is Isha, Nafesh could be like something bad also. Like
it could be.
Not something physical that we know.
But Rabbi Shmuel says, Mishem, from shame, and the Gersa, the old Mepharshim says, it's not supposed to say shame, it's supposed to say shase, because that's what we're talking about really. Mishase, all over Nisyachsu, Kol Deris HaTzadikim. From shase, comes is the progeny, the pedigree of all the future generations of tzaddikim. Being Shais is the third son of Adam Rishon. After the story of Cain and Hevel, so Adam Rishon, we said, separated from Chava for 130 years, and then when he was 130 years old, so then Chava he went back to Chava, and then they had a son called Shais. Shemimenu hushta sa'olam, from him the world was founded, and we're all descendants of Shais basically. Right. So from Shais, that all the tzaddikim, they're miyuchos to Shais. They're like they're ascribed to Shais. They're connected to Shais.
What about Kain?
Kain, from Kain, all of Nisyachsu kol deris harishoyim hamordim v'hapishim b'morim. From Kain or Nisyaches, all the generations of the wicked people who rebel and who sin on purpose against Hashem, and they say, we don't need the drops of your rain, Hashem. We can take care of things on our own. We don't need you. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, "Vayomru lekel sur mimenu." They said to Hashem, "Remove yourself from us." So that's the point over here is to say that Shais is good and Kain is bad, because Kain came from this Malach Samal, and we're saying that whatever you plant, that's what it's going to produce. So if the epitome of evil planted into Chava, so then the what's going to be produced is evil. And when we're talking about Shais, so Shais was from just Adam and Chava, and so that's good. So Shais is going to be a good person. So that's the continuation of Shais. What about Hevel? Okay, we'll have to speak about Hevel really in like the beginning of the next parak. Like how does sort of Hevel fit into this idea? Well, here we're talking about it as Cain versus Shais. But this line over here is going to appear in the beginning of the next parak as well. Fine. Now we're going to talk about Cain and Hevel and who they married, etc. Rabbi Miyasha says, Noled Cain usumasa imay. Noled Hevel usumasa imay. First, the way I understood what it's saying over here is that first Cain was born and his twin sister was born with him. Then Hevel was born and his twin sister was born with him. And the implication of what Rabbi Miyasha is saying is that who did Cain marry and who did Hevel marry? Cain married his twin sister. Hevel married his twin sister. That's who they married, and that's how they had children, and that's where the world was is coming out from.
Comes out from a word for it.
It could be.
Well,
if you look at the Russian of the pasuk, it says, "V'hadam yadat chavah es Cain, Vatimer Kanisi Is Hashem. So it says S by the birth of Cain, but Tayyip Laletus, she continued to give birth, S Ochiv S Havel, his brother Havel. Chazal tells us that it says S twice by Havel to tell you that Havel had two twin sisters. But here we're not necessarily talking about that at this point in the Medrash. It is going to come up in this parak, but not yet. But there's an interesting thing about the twin sister of Cain. A lot of different Sfarim are trying to figure out what was Cain's wife's name, or talking about what was Cain's wife's name. The Ibn Ezra in Bereishis Hey Chavtes, the Ibn Ezra says, Lomali Tishalishma, what do you care what her name is? Like, why are you trying to figure out things and like discussing things that like our Sfarim don't talk about? That's Ibn Ezra's criticism of those people. But Lamaisa, there's a whole like slew of different Sfarim that I wrote down over here that say the name of Cain's wife. Shalshal Sakabala and Nabarbanel, also brought in the Seder Duris, they said her name was Kalmana. And there's a sefer called Kadmonies HaYehudim, which is what's called the Antiquities of the Jews, not Josephus, but a different Greek Roman philosopher named Philo Judaeus, a famous philosopher. Philo, he was Jewish, but he wasn't necessarily from. But he has some sort of Kabbalah that her name was Temach. There's a sefer Yachmiel that says her name was Temed. In Medrash HaGadol it says her name was Knunsel. In Sefer Yoivlim, the Book of Jubilees, it says that her name was Avoin. Rav Chaim Kanevsky brings another pshat in his Sefer L'machasa Atik. He brings in the name of Ksaviad that her name. Can I close the door?
No, not done.
It's hot. I don't feel listening. Havaya, what's it called? That's where Rav Chaim Kanevsky brings from. That's Tanakh Parchi. No, he brings it B'Shem Medrash Ksaviad, which I did some research and I found that that's what's called Tanakh Parchi, which is a very interesting book. It was never printed. It's a Ksaviad from like the 1100s or so from Spain. And it has a Tanakh. And it has like some sort of anonymous pirush written on it. We don't know who wrote it. And it somehow found its way to the Sassoon Library, the famous Sassoon family from England. Or, you know, what's it called? He was a Talmud of Dessler. Ah. So the Sassoon family has like a library of like all kinds of kisvei or whatever. So they got it from one in Parchi or something. So it's called the Tanakh Parchi, which has like a pirush. It was never printed. And it's sitting in a vault now in like Switzerland that like no one's ever looked at it. And it was never published. But one person looked at it like 150 years ago and he wrote down a few interesting things from it. So he wrote an article about it, Harkavi. So he printed like a whole bunch of interesting things. And one of the things that he mentioned is that it says over there that the name of Cain's wife was Havaya. So this time it's an interesting thing that they talk about. What was Cain's wife's name?
How many other books are hidden away in the vault?
We don't know. Yeah, how many books? I don't know.
Who's vault?
Someone in the Sassoon family is hiding it in Switzerland.
They don't
look at it, whatever.
Who wrote it?
We don't know who wrote it. Someone from the time of the Rishonim in Spain. I think it was in Spain. Yeah. But Omar Rabbi Shmuel. Okay, so Rabbi Miyasha says that Cain had his twin sister, Havel had his twin sister, and that's who they married and that's who they had kids with. Amar Lei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel said to Rabbi Miyasha, "V'alei kvar nemar." It doesn't say in the pasuk, "V'yish asher yikach esachoy soy bas aviv or bas imoy maladas bais or maladas chutz." Whatever, it's also now I'd marry your sister. The pasuk we didn't read this pasuk, but we had a similar pasuk on Yom Kippur. You now I'd marry your sister. So how can it be that Cain married his sister, Hevel married his sister, and I'm gonna marry your sister?
But you're with nobody else. So what do you want?
Oh, so that's the answer.
Look, it's not
Woodstock
to be
a thing. Amalai, so he said to him, "Miteich hadvayim ha'ela teid alachash lehayu nashem mechayes ba'olam." From this, you know that there weren't any other women in the world that she used to lohen that they should marry them. So that's why they married them.
Yeah.
V'hitirun lohem. So that's why they married them, because there was no one else. And that's about this. The pasuk says, "Ki omarti olam chesed yibaneh," because Hashem said that the world is built on chesed. And we said before, we mentioned this idea before in Perek Tezayin, that marrying your sister is called a chesed. It's just the type of chesed that's aser. But before the Torah was given, then it's mutter. Bechesed nivra ha'olam, the world was created with chesed ad shelo nitna Torah, until before the Torah was given. After the Torah is given, then the Torah's laws supersede whatever ideas of chesed we might think of. But beforehand, chesed is more important than let's say what would be the Isra of Arayah. So then we said, we spoke about this idea earlier in Perek Tezayin, so I'm being makatzer, it's not exactly the way I said.
At least three events in we know that things like that happen.
Yeah.
Except for Avraham Avinu married two sisters.
Yeah.
Not like their daughters or whatever. And it was the same excuse were used. And here.
Yeah.
And after the Mabul.
After the Mabul. Why after the Mabul?
What's it called? Noah's sons.
Noah's sons what?
They married. Who they married?
I don't know. I mean, I do know, but I don't know of a source that says that they married their sisters.
No.
I don't know.
No.
Doesn't say that.
Okay.
Amram married his aunt. Fine.
Yeah.
The definition Chaim Rav Chaim Volozhiner speaks about it. We spoke about this in Perek Tezayin. That Rav Chaim Volozhiner speaks about it.
And also Lot's
daughters. Lot's they thought that they were in the same situation.
Exactly.
Right. That the world was destroyed, there was no one else. So yeah, so that's that was Rav Miyasha, and then Rav Shmuel asked the question, how could they marry their sister? And then we answered, because there was no one else, and that's how you started the world. And we said, Olam Chesed Yibaneh, and marrying your sister is called a Chesed, right? The Radal is sort of like bothered by this. He's like, I don't understand what Rabbi Shmuel wanted. Like, obviously, there was no one else in the world, so they had to have married their sisters. So when you ask the guy, it's also that, like Rabbi Bates pointed out, that's the obvious answer before we even saw the next line in the Medrash. Like, what's he bothered by? Like, what did he want them to do? So I would say, Rabbi Shmuel was dumb. He was just asking the question to bring out the answer. I don't think he really thought that, like no, it should be also. How can they do it? I don't think he was asking it like that. He was like, all right, what's that? You know, what's the head to, like, explain more about it. He didn't mean to ask, but the Radal doesn't say like that. The Radal says that what Rabbi Shmuel wanted was that Kayin should. He says like this: that the inin of Arias is that any as somebody is closer to you, so they're more usher to you. So if we're talking about a sister and a twin sister, yeah. So the Radal says that it should be that a twin sister would be, let's say, more usher than to marry your twin sister than to marry your regular sister, because the twin sister is more similar to you than, or let's say a half sister is let's say less closer to you than a full sister. Right? So the more close they are to you, they should be more usher.
That's why maybe the pasuk brings both of them.
Well, that's right. That's why the Torah says that all of that is also.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about over here, so the Radal says that Rabbi Shmuel was asking like this: you have a choice. You have a choice. Kayin can marry his twin sister, or he can marry Hevel's twin sister, and Hevel will marry Kayin's twin sister. Why did he understands Rabbi Shmuel was asking, why was it that Kayin had to marry his twin sister? Why shouldn't he marry Hevel's twin sister? Because it's also to marry your sister, right? So if you have a choice of marrying your sister or your twin sister, so rather you should choose your regular sister other than your twin sister, so that it's not going to be the most close to you. That's where Bishmo's question was. That's the way the Radal understands it. And then the answer is that no, Hashem wanted the world to already be created. And let's say like this: if Kayin had to wait for Hevel and his twin sister to be born, so then you know that's going to delay the foundation of the world until Hevel and his twin sister are going to be born. So Hashem wanted right now. So Kayin was born; he married his twin sister right away, without waiting. And I guess then once Kayin did this, then Hevel's going to do the same thing or something like that. It's an interesting idea.
At what point did it stop?
I don't like this time bound explanation. If Hashem wanted to rush things up, it's just like it could create different people. That's it.
No, but not necessarily. You could say also that they had a responsibility, that their role in the world was to continue the world. So then it's like, now you're just like being lazy. You're just waiting around till what? For what happens? Or maybe they didn't know what's going to happen next. So, you know, do what you're supposed to do right now instead of waiting for what might happen later on in the future. You could say it like that. He didn't say it like that, but maybe. Yeah. He brings a Ran basically that says a similar idea. I don't. So that's the Yisrael over here. So basically, this understanding was that what happened first was that Cain and his twin was born, and then afterwards Hevel and his twin was born. Right. So that Cain and Hevel were born separately. In fact, the diuk in the pasuk is Vatar Vateladis Kayin, Vatamar Kinesis Hashem, Vatayasef Ladadis, she continued, she additionally gave birth, we can understand as she's giving birth, it's a different giving birth. This is like a new episode. She's giving birth, and that was when Hevel was born. Not that Kayin and Hevel are born together. That's what it seems like this idea, this Pshat in the Medrash is saying. Rabbi Yossi says, Cain and Hevel toimim hayu. Cain and Hevel were actually twins. Shneimar, it says in the pasuk, Vatachar vatelet es Cain. She gave birth, she became pregnant, she gave birth to Cain. At that moment, Esifas lemeilat, she continued to give birth. Shneimar, Vatayasif leletes, and she continued to give birth, and that's when Hevel was born. So this opinion is saying that no, Cain and Hevel were twins. They were born at the same. They were born in Parchus Yosef, the same episode. Not Vatayasef is like a different. Additionally, furthermore, a different story. No, Vatayasef means she gave birth to Cain, and then right away she also gave birth to Hevel.
Can I bring another explanation?
Yeah.
From my stomach.
From your stomach?
Yeah. What
do they say? What? A boichsvar.
My brain.
Yeah.
When it's there, Rav Miasha says, "Nalat Kain v'teumaso imoy."
Yeah.
Does it have to be that it's a sister, or maybe it could be his brother?
No.
Is that what Rav Miasha says?
No, because teumaso means twin sister.
Yeah, I know. It has to be that.
The word teumaso means his twin sister.
Yeah, but it has to be. According to Rav Miasha, there's like only two twins. Only one pair of twins.
Oh, so
Cain and Hevel. When he was born, and there's a Teom, and the other one was born, and also a Teom, it means that there's no Chor here. They were born like together. They came out together.
I don't know. If, the Gemara in Bukhari says that it's impossible. If you've heard of the expression. No, it's a famous expression. You ever heard of the expression "ef shalat samsem" and "ef shalat samsem"? So that comes that's a Gemara in Bukharis when it's talking about two Bukharis being born at the same time. So we say that it's impossible. "Ef shalat samsem." It's impossible that there's going to be two born at the same time. It has to be that one came out first before the other one, and then at best you could say that it's a suffix and we don't know which one came out first. We can't say that they both really came out at the same time. Even if it comes to Chava, I wouldn't come and say this chiddush like that on my own to say that there was a nes by Chava that Cain and Hevel were born in the same. It would seem that Rav Miasha and Rabbi Yossi, rather I said Rabbi Yossi, Miyalkut Shemayni Parshas Bereishis, it doesn't say from Rabbi Yossi, it says Rabbi. So it's like it's even more chashav. It's Rabbi Yudon Hasi. But
Rabbi Yossi is before
Rabbi. It's true. If it's that Rabbi Yossi, I'm not sure which Rabbi Yossi would be, but it would seem that there's a machloikis over here. Rabbi Miyashi is saying that Cain was born with his twin, Hevel was born with his twin, and Cain and Hevel weren't born together. They weren't twins, b'chol. They themselves weren't twins. Because otherwise, it's just a funny way of saying it. Him and his twin, and her twin. But if they themselves are twins, so you should say that, you know, all four of them were twins. It's pretty clear to me that Rami Ashi is saying that Cain and Hevel were not twins. And then the next part, Rabbi Yossi is saying, no, kind of Hevel were twins. So what about the girls? That's basically what you're bothered by. So what? So does Rabbi Yossi agree that there were girls that were born with them or not?
Yeah, but they're not allowed to carry around four kids.
What?
Four kids carry around the first pregnancy.
Right.
Carry four kids is a lot.
It's a lot, yeah. Moscow.
And also Rashi explained that the beginning of Yaakov and Esau, there was like a tube. The first seed went in, and then that was Yaakov, and then the second seed went in with Esau. So Esau comes out first.
Right.
Yaakov was really waiting for.
Right. So you.
Yeah.
The truth is, you'll only say that if we're talking about twins. If we're talking, right? Because otherwise, there's no such thing as a bechor and a non bechor, right? Because then every bechor, really, he should be the youngest, and then the youngest is really going to be the bechor. No, there's no such thing like that. So when we're talking about twins, so we say that Rashi that you said, and if saying that Cain and Hevel were twins, so according to what you said, really. Hevel would be really the Bukhar and Cain would be not the Bukhar, yeah. Which is a significant thing which might come up later on, yeah. that according to what you said, Hevel is the Bukhar and Cain is not.
No. Could have cut the record.
Right. But well, you just made it more difficult because pet the rechem means the opening of the rechem, which means the first one that comes out,
correct.
Not the first one that came in.
Correct.
So then you just made it more complicated.
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah. See, it's not Pashin.
No.
Nothing is Pashin. Okay, so.
So where are the women?
So where are the women according to Rabbi Yossi, right? So either you'll say that Rabbi Yossi. Let's say it like this. The Gemara, if we remember from our chart from Perek Yud Aleph, of the 12 hours of the day that happened from Adam Rishon. So the Gemara says, oh, very good. The Gemara says, in the 8th hour of the day, says two people went up to the bed and four people came down. Yeah. So what does that mean? It means that other Pashas means Adam and Chava went up to the bed and then four people came down. What does it mean that four people came down? It says, Taisus, Mesechus, Sanhedrin, Lamed Ches, and Beis, four people that came down is Adam, Chava, Cain, and Cain's twin. That's what Tosfos says. Right? That's what Tosfos says. Other Rishonim argue with that pshat. The Pirush HaTorah Al HaTorah, Pirush HaTorah Aruch Al HaTorah, Rabbi Yehuda Chassid Al HaTorah, which could be is not such miuchas like a sefer, but there are other Rishonim that say no. Two went up and four came down. Who were the four that came down? Adam, Chava, Cain, and Hevel. Okay. So now the question is, so if the four that came down are Adam, Chava, Cain, and Hevel, so what about the twins? We know that there were twins born. Right? So Mepharshim say, I think the Mepharshim say, I don't think this is me saying this, but the Mepharshim say that the Gemara didn't mention the twin girls that were born with them because the twin girls aren't mentioned explicitly in the Pasuk. So when it says that four came down, it's talking about Adam, Chava, Cain, and Hevel, and also the twins, but we didn't chashven in the twins because the twins aren't mentioned in the pasuk. But the twins were also there. And also, what's it called? Pirush HaRif al Ein Yaakov. You know Pirush HaRif al Ein Yaakov? It's not written by the Rif. It's written by Rabbi Yeshio Pinto. It's like a Talmud of Chaim Vital. Mesechus Erev and Kufim Adveis. So they say this pshat. According to Tosfos, it was Cain and his twin, and we're not talking about Hevel and his twins Bechla, because they were born at a separate time. So Machlekes Rishonim, exactly how to understand Pshat in the Gemara. So what's the Machlekes? So I want to say that the Machlekes between Tosfos and the other Rishonim is, were Cain and Hevel twins or not? Targum Yonason also goes like this, what we said over here in Pirkei Deb Elezer, that Targum Yonason in Parshas Bereishis says that Cain and Hevel were twins. And we said over here, Cain and Hevel were twins. So I want to say that Tosfos obviously understood, like the first chat we said here in Pirkei Deb Elezer, that Cain and Hevel were not twins. And the other Rishonim that said that Cain and Hevel were born together, and we're not mentioning the girls because the girls aren't mentioned explicitly in the pasuk. Going like the second pshat over here that they were twins, or like Targum Yonah said that they were twins. So that's basically how I account for it. The Radal sort of says a different sort. It says maybe this opinion over here in the Medrash doesn't hold like the Gemara. He says that he wants to say it doesn't hold like the Gemara, because the Gemara says four came down, and according to Rabbi Yossi, it should be that seven came down. And there is a mention that says that seven came down, because it would be Adam, Chava, Cain and his twin, and Hevel and his two twins. But that's what the Radal says. But I want to say it's not machlekes if he holds like the Gemara or not. It's machlekes in how to understand the Gemara. In the Rishonim. I'll tell you something funny. That when I was mechadish this on Chol Moed Sukkos, was I think 6 years ago. This idea to explain the machlekes between the Tesis and the Rishonim is totally in machlekes if Cain and Hevel were twins or not. So it's very funny. I had no one to say this over to, because there was no one around. I was in LA or whatever. So I had a date that day. It was Chol Moed Sukkos. So I went on a date with a girl, and I said over this word to her.
Oh no!
I said, "This is a homo halacha." I was like so happy, like I came up with this topic. And like she understood what I was talking about. She like she hopped completely what I was saying, and then she's like, "Okay, so what?"
Oh no!
I'm like, "What do you mean? Now you have shad mochlekes rishayim." Okay, yeah, so. Okay.
But that matter. That's a woman. A woman sits out there. What?
Yeah, what's the practical not coming? I'm just trying to be bothered. What's the different pshat over here?
Are we making cake? Are we making bread? What are we making?
Yeah. Well, no, that wasn't the one I married, though.
We know.
Yeah, what are you saying?
Everybody agrees that Adam and Chava were two of the four. Do you have to say that Adam and Chava were
brothers?
Because it's Yara.
Yeah, I know, yeah. You're right. Everyone assumes that. Everyone assumes that it's also talking about Adam and Chava again.
Because it makes sense that they
right.
Pick up,
so
they have to come
down. They have to come down,
right. Could you say...
But you're right. If you want to say that it's not talking about Adam and Chava, then it would work out very well. But not really, because Hevel had two twins with him. So it's just that five came down.
According to everybody, or just according to some, and then he also had.
I'm not sure. That I'm not sure.
According to over here, he only had one twin.
That's what it sounds like, because it says two masa. It doesn't say two moisal. Yeah, I know. I was thinking that also. I'm not sure.
With
masya or
mi asha. Mi asha.
I think we had him before also in Trick of the Lizard.
I wasn't made by a ton of name Rabbi Zeir. I didn't know there was one.
No, it could be. First of all, it says Zeira, and at least in mine. Zeira means the small one. Zutra and Zeira, they both mean small. Oh. One more interesting point, and then we'll start talking about the next part. The Nezer HaKodesh in Bereishis Rabbah, in Parsha Chaf Beis, Simin Dalet. The Nezer HaKodesh points out an interesting thing. That if we're saying that Cain and Hevel were not twins, yeah. So he wants to say when was Hevel born? Cain l'chora was born. Who said that? Who was born the same day that Adam Rishon was created in the eighth hour of that day? So Adam Rishon was created, Pashtus, let's say at least according to Pirkei Avos, on Rosh Hashanah, and Aleph Tishrei, right? So when was Hevel born? It has to be after that, right? So how much after that? So he wants to say like this. He makes an interesting cheshbon. He said that Cain and his twin sister were born. Right? And the halacha is that when a woman gives birth to a girl, so she's tmeah for 14 days. Midoraisa, after 14 days, she could go to the mikvah and she's good. Right? We hold nowadays, you're supposed to do shivanakim afterwards. But midoraisa, after 14 days, you go to the mikvah and you can go back. And then you tell her. Right? So it says, So he was born, Cain and his twin sister were born in Aleph Tishrei. Then for 14 days, Chava was Tmeya. Right? Then after 14 days, she went to the mikvah. The 15th day, she went back to her husband, and then Hevel was born. Right? So what's that? The 15th day of Tishrei, first day of Sukkos. So interesting, huh? So according to the Nezer HaKodesh, Hevel was born on the first day of Sukkos.
And
what?
Yeah.
What?
Hevel, I'm just thinking, Sukkos is the harvest.
Yeah.
But Hevel was not harvest. Hevel was animals.
Right.
Cain was more kashrut fruit.
Oh, so now that you mentioned it, we're going to read the next line in the Pirkei Avos.
So Hevel had to look on being with
Hevel had a
V'haya Kayin oyev lavid adama lizraya. Kayin loved to work the ground, to plant things, etc. V'hevel haya oyev liris tzayin. And Hevel, his natural inclination was he liked to be a shepherd, to shepherd sheep, and to shepherd flocks. So they work together. This one would give from his work, from his products to him, and this one would give from his products to him. Meaning, let's say Cain would grow things or whatever and give it to Hevel. And Hevel was growing animals. They weren't allowed to kill animals because they weren't allowed to eat meat yet. But the animals produced milk. You could make butter from the milk, these type of things. Or you could, if we're talking about sheep, you could use the wool. So that
was the third barter system.
The barter system, yeah. They worked out together. It says machal, but you could say that machal could also mean clothing. They worked out together, what he needed and what he needed, and they put it together.
One moment, you said that Cain came from Nachas, right?
Yeah.
So Nachas is connected with Adama, no?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. Hopefully we'll get to that.
Hevel being from Malach connected with the sheep.
The Hevel is from Adam.
Yeah, because the sheep are much higher. The
Bnei
Israel became Lo
Israel. Right, same.
So that's the
same creation.
With Hashem.
Mm.
So more
spiritual
kind of.
Right. And obviously, like a sheep is on a higher level of being, of living, than a growing thing. There's Tzemeach and Chai. So a Chai is higher than a Tzemeach.
It's interesting. Someone takes care of something that's
lower.
Should be in a higher level. The conscience should be that you know how to control high level things,
right,
not low level things.
Right.
Everyone can do it.
Yeah.
But to control high level things, you have to be in a
higher
level. It's all the crazy people today that don't understand. What's the difference between a cow and a person? You should not do this.
Yeah, those people, there's no difference.
They think they're cows, yeah.
I remember very important when it comes to like finding a job.
Right.
Depending on where your orientation was, get the kind of job you're doing.
And then the Bayis HaGadol has a discussion a little bit about if an animal died without Shechita, died on its own, so were they allowed to eat the meat from it? Or did Hashem just say that you're not allowed to kill an animal to eat the meat, but if an animal died on its own, maybe you are allowed to eat the meat? Okay, whatever, that's the whole... That's on the gay over here. Okay. So now we're up to the beginning of the story of Adam, of Cain and Hevel. The first question to ask before starting the story is, when did this happen? When did this story happen? So, Kederach of Chazal is that... Okay, let's start like this. The Pesukim, the Pasuk says, Vayihi Miketz Yomim. It was at the end of days. So it's very ambiguous. Like, Yomim can mean 2 days later. Yomim can mean years later. Well, so how long after, let's say, the Bria Sa'olam, after Cain and Hevel were born, how long afterwards was this story of Cain and Hevel bringing Karbanos and killing each other or whatever? How long afterwards? So I believe there are 7 different explanations. And Pirkei Avos is one of them. But we'll go through the other ones first, and then if we have time, maybe we'll start with Pirkei Avos. I'm not sure if we'll have time to do it, but first of all, there is the Sefer HaPliya, which is one of the early Kabbalah Sfarim. Sefer HaPliya says that this happened immediately afterwards. We're still talking about Mamish, more or less the same day. Adam Rishon was created on Friday, and obviously his understanding that Cain and Hevel were twins because they're already born at the same time, Cain and Hevel. And then that Friday was when they were chayte, they got kicked out of Gan Eden, right? And he says, so the Sefer Pliya continues and says, Friday night over Bashalim, everything was peaceful that Friday night, that Shabbos. Then Bahashkama, early in the morning, that Shabbos morning, early in the morning, they went they woke up early and they brought their korbanos. And then after the korbanos, when Cain's wasn't accepted and Hevel's was accepted, then Cain got jealous and right away he killed him. Right? It was mamish, like everything happened like in the same line of progression. And on that day, Hashem said, you know, you're a tzeach, whatever, and Cain did tshuva, etc. So basically, he's understanding that happened mamash the next day, that the day after they were born, that Shabbos, Beis Tishrei, whatever. And this would mean that really happened before what we talked about in the last parak. The other region started fasting and doing tshuva on Sunday, so this was already on Shabbos before that. Which, Be'etzem, if you remember, in the previous parak, so I asked a question. It was, no, I'm sorry, two parakim ago, I asked a question in Perek Yutes. I asked a question that we said that Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos in Perek Yud Eliezer, it sounds like it's talking about the first Shabbos Adam Rishon did Tshuva. And we brought another Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah where it says that Hashem, the Adam Rishon saw that Cain killed Hevel and then did Tshuva. And then he himself did Tshuva because of that, and then it says Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos. So then at that point in Perek Yutes, I wanted to say that's Machlokes between the Midrashim. Is that talking about the first Shabbos, or is it talking about like afterwards when Cain killed Hevel and then Adam Rishon did tshuva? But according to this, it's not. You don't have to say it's a b'chleikus, because it could be that Cain killed Hevel on that Shabbos itself, on that first Shabbos, and Adam Rishon, and then he killed him and he got punished. And he did tshuva, and then Adam Rishon saw that he did tshuva. All that is all happening in one day. All that Mizmor Shel Yom HaShabbos is talking about the first Shabbos. Could be. But Al-Kopanim, according to the Rabbi Yomi Izmir in Medrash Talpiyos, on the words Harigas Hevel, so he says, according to this, it comes out that Hevel lived for Be'erech 16, 17 hours. That's how long Hevel lived. And he wants to say that, the Pasuk says, Vayhimi Kes Yomim, it was after days, the end of days. So how do you understand that? So it says, days, Yomim means 2 days. The least amount of days that Yomim can mean is at least two. So say it means two. Friday, Shabbos, and then that's when the story happened. Shabbos.
And
Kates
would be the end of Shabbos.
Not sure.
What's Kates
mean? Not sure. It would just mean that there were 2 days. When you think because it sounds like it was at the end of the second day. I'm not sure.
It was at the end of the time.
Right at the end of the time of 2 days, and it wouldn't be two full days. The Pirush Rekech HaTorah says that it was at the end of a year. Mikates Yomim means at the end of a year. The Abarbanel brings in the name of Yosefun, Josephus. It's not written in the Sefer Yosefun, so it has to be in like one of Josephus's Roman, whatever, Latin books, where he says that Cain and Hevel were 100 years old when this story happened. So it was 100 years later. Medrash Tanchuma says they were 40 years old. Medrash Tanchuma and Parshas Bereishis Siman Tes said that they were 40 years old. And there's an interesting pshat from the Or Yekaris. The Or Yekaris was a great-great-grandson of the Bach. The Bach had a great-grandson named Rabbi Yehuda Leib Sirkis. The Bach was Rabbi Yael Sirkis. He had a great-grandson named Rabbi Yehuda Leib Sirkis, who wrote a sefer called Livyas Chayin. And Livyas Chayin had a son who wrote a sefer called Or Yekaris, and they printed their sefer together. Livyas Chayin and Or Yekaris is a sefer on Chumash, which on every parsha, first it has the Livyas Chayin, and then it has the Or Yekaris. And then the next parsha, Livyas Chayin, and then the Or Yekaris. The father and son wrote the sefer together, so to speak. So the Or Yekaris has like a whole part, like why dafka 40 years? He found a different medrash that says that before the Mabul, so you only had to plant things once every 40 years. So he says that if we're talking about, you know, Hevel, Cain bringing from like the Shvach stuff, so it had to have been that he planted it, and then Shvach stuff grew. So it had to have been 40 years later. So that's why he says that the Medrash Tanchuma says it was 40 years later. The Seder Adaris, when it brings this, so Seder Adaris brings the name of the Tanchuma that Cain was 100 years old when he killed Hevel. As if the Medrash Tanchuma is like a continuation of what Josephus said. But the truth is that it's really a mistake, because I looked in the Medrash Tanchum itself. The Medrash says 40, not 100. And then I looked back at old prints of the early, like 200-300 years old prints of the Seder Adaris, not 250 years old. The first prints of the Seder Adaris, it didn't say 100 years. It said Mem with a line, years, Shanim. And then in the later prints, somebody must have decided that Mem stands for Mea and then wrote out the word Mea. But really, it doesn't mean Mea, it means Mem, meaning 40. So, yeah. Okay, well, probably the person didn't have a chance to look up the Medrash Tanchuma to see that it says 40. You know, they just assume, because we're just talking about 100. So, the Ibn Ezra also says that it's a year, just like the Pirush Rikach. Okay, those are a whole bunch of explanations. Another set of explanations is in the Chazal, in Bereishis Rabbah. In Bereishis Rabbah, in Parsha Chaf Beis, Simin Dalet. Vayhimi Ketz Yamim. Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Shua. It's dependent on Machlikas, Rabbi Eliezer, and Rabbi Shua, how to understand when this story happened. No, we mentioned this a few times already. Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Shua have a machlekes if the world was created in Tishrei or the world was created in Nisan. Was the world created in Tishrei or Nisan? Rabbi Eliezer, I remember Tishrei Nivra Olam. Rabbi Shua, I remember Nisan Nivra Olam. Right? So the Medrash says, Man, the Amar bit Tishrei Nivra Olam, according to the opinion that the world was created in Tishrei, Asa Nivra Olam, Asa Hevel Kayim Min Hachag V'Ar Chanukah. Hevel was alive from Sukkis till Chanukah. Man dama benusin nivra olam, Hevel came in a Pesach v'Atzeres. Hevel was alive from Pesach till Shavuos, which is 50 days. Says the Medrash finishes off, it says, Ben le divrei elu, hakol moedim shloi osa Hevel ba'olam yosem mechamishim yom. Whether according to this opinion, everyone agrees that Hevel didn't live for more than 50 days. That's what it says in the Medrash. Now, there's a few obvious problems with the Medrash. First of all, it says that Hevel was from a Chag ad a Chanukah, from Sukkot to Chanukah. But who said Hevel was born on Sukkot? So we said a Pshat that Hevel was why Hevel was born on Sukkot. But the Pashtus, and according to if you learn that Hevel and Kain and Hevel were twins, definitely Hevel was born not on Sukkot. Hevel was born on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. Right? Now, if you make a Cheshbon from Rosh Chodesh Tishrei to Chanukah, how many days is it?
Look. 85
days, right? Because you have, let's say, Rosh Chodesh, you have the whole Tishrei is 30 days, the whole Cheshvan is 30 days, so that's 60, plus Kislev, 25 days of Kislev is another 25, 60 plus 25 is 85. So 85 days. So I could imagine say that according to everyone, he didn't live more than 50 days. According to the first opinion that Tishrei Nivra Olam, he lived for 85 days. So this question is first asked by the Marash Yotha in his Pirush Yafei Torah on Bereishis Rabbah. He's the first one to ask this question, and he says there's a mistake in the Bereishis Rabbah. He doesn't say what the mistake is. This is a mistake. So what's the mistake? So Seder Duris says that the mistake is instead of saying 50 days, it's supposed to say 90 days. Right, so according to the opinion of the Tishrei Nivra, it's 85 days. So saying the Medrash is saying that everyone agrees he didn't live more than 90 days. Maximum, for sure, the max is 85. Everyone agrees that 90 is already, Hevel didn't live 90 days. That's what the Seder Derech says. If you look in, other Mepharshim say like this, that what the Yafei Torah, what the Marash Yafa means to say is that no, the Medrash doesn't mean to say everyone agrees that he lived at least 50 days, but rather that everyone agrees that the Medrash says that everyone says that he didn't live more than 50 days. No, it's not supposed to say that everyone agrees that he didn't live more than 50 days. Rather, it's supposed to say, everyone agrees that he didn't live less than 50 days. That's what it's supposed to say. Meaning, either he lived 85 or he lived 50. But nobody holds that it was less than 50. That's what the Yedei Moshe and the Radal on the Bereishis Rabbah, that's what they say. It's supposed to say, "How come Moedim Shalasa have a ba'olam pachos mechamishim yom, not yosim mechamishim yom?" Okay, the Yaibetz also here. Okay, the Yaibetz has a tshuva about this also, and he says that if you take away the first 30 days, because the first 30 days is a safek nefel, so then it's 85 minus 30, which is 55, and then he says that it could be that Hevel wasn't born right away, like we said that Hevel was born by Sukkis, or the Yaibetz wants to say that Hevel was really born. He wants to say that Laman Amar B'Tishrei Nivra Olam, so that means Hashem started creating the world in Tishrei, and then Adam was born on the 6th day of Tishrei, which doesn't go with what we said before, because we said that really Hashem started creating the world on the 25th of Elul, and Adam was created on the 1st of Tishrei. That's what it means with Tishrei Nivra Olam. But that's what the Yaibetz wants to say. And then he wants to say that maybe 50 is Laftafka, it means 55, or we're just rounding it to the nearest 5. There's a whole bunch of explanations over here. That's that Nekudah. And Chazal saying that it was 50 days later, either from Sukkot till Chanukah or from Pesach till Shavuot. Okay. Pirkei Eliezer, obviously, Pirkei Eliezer obviously understands that B'Tishrei Nivra Olam, the Adam Rishon was created on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei or Rosh Hashanah, and whether Cain and Hevel were also, so Cain for sure, Hevel, we're not sure exactly, but Pashas Hevel wasn't born long afterwards. But when did this story happen? Pirkei Eliezer is going to say that it happened on Erev Pesach. It's going to happen on Pesach or Erev Pesach. And I think we're going to stop over here. We're not going to get into the whole Pesach Erev Pesach thing. With Targum Yonasan and Pirkei Eliezer say that it happened Erev Pesach. So that's another opinion of when did this story happen? Pesach or Erev Pesach? But I think we'll stop here.
But the Rishis Rabba brought Rabbi Eliezer as happened in
Chanukah. Right. Bereshis Rabba said, like, according to Rabbi Eliezer, who holds B'Tishrei Nivra Olam, you could say it like that.
But it doesn't say that.
I guess you would have to say it like that. Or maybe here, this Medrash isn't Rabbi Eliezer speaking, I don't know.
If Cain would have the world, right? Now there's 6 billion people. It wouldn't be 12 billion people.
Maybe.
Imagine 12 billion.
We cannot. But we're getting there. Very close.